Hi, I'm Chris, and welcome to this podcast series exploring the building blocks of great communication. I'm Chris, Managing Director of Strategic Leadership in the UK for BMW. In this episode, we're going to explore the art of facilitation. If you reflect on the majority of your day-to-day communication in work, you'll find most communication is in the domain of transmit. In other words, we're telling someone something. And sure, we might have a conversation, but the essence is somehow a tell rather than a genuine ask. Whenever we tell people things, we're not learning anything new or gaining deeper insight into our people's views on a certain topic. And so facilitation is in fact leadership in action. It involves motivating, guiding, and supporting others in the development of their ideas and thoughts. In facilitation, we allow our audience to lead or to be the experts. For people who are more introverted, there is a huge additional benefit to facilitation skills. You don't need to memorize anything. You don't need to be the center of attention. You don't even need slides. You don't need to be an expert or claim expertise in the subject. Because essentially, as a facilitator, your job is to get the audience to consider, discuss, and reflect the points on your agenda. Ideally, you're guiding rather than leading the conversation to ensure that the maximum value is being extracted from the potential that you have in the room. For this reason, people who are quieter or maybe don't enjoy being the center of attention can often find a natural strength in facilitation. Good facilitation rapidly creates engagement because people recognize that they're driving the conversation, and a skillful facilitator can potentially achieve even higher levels of engagement and participation than leaders who try and stand at the front and simply transmit or tell their message. I'm reminded of a situation I saw some years ago where a client of mine was considering closing a plant in South Wales. They'd invited a senior executive from the head office in North America to visit the plant in South Wales and to come and give a presentation. The only place where they could hold such a large presentation for all hands was in the cafeteria. They'd put a stage at the front, they'd put a screen behind for the person's PowerPoint. And when their senior exec arrived, he walked to the front and they said, "Here's the place for your PowerPoint." He told them, "I don't have any slides. I thought I might just take some questions." Now, this totally surprised everyone. Their expectation was that the person would come over and deliver a presentation about what's going on. But he didn't do that. He simply stood at the front. When his audience came in, he simply said, "You probably have a lot of questions right now, and I only have a limited time here. So I'll do my best to answer as many of the questions that I can. And if I can answer something, I'll answer it. If I can't answer it, I'll tell you honestly I can't answer it. If I'm not allowed to answer it, I'll tell you I know, but I'm not allowed to tell you the answer. So what questions do you have?" And he wrote up all of the questions that were in the room and proceeded to spend about an hour and a half just answering people's questions. Well, that workforce were in a fairly negative mindset going into that presentation. But I have to say, I talked to people as they came out and they had so much time and respect for what that person did. And almost what he did was less than what some people would do in trying to prepare a presentation and a message. And that for me is the power of facilitation. A skilled facilitator can make the process look effortless. When you watch a great facilitator, essentially you see someone doing little more than just asking questions. And although there's an element of truth to that, mastering the art of facilitation takes a lot of practice, a great deal of skill, and it does certainly require some preparation. So let's have a look at the role of facilitator in a bit more detail. The first rule in facilitation is that you have to remain neutral. Your personal feelings need to be put to one side so that you become a vehicle for the group to explore their feelings or opinions on the subject. If you allow your feelings on the topic to surface, it's going to influence the direction of your questions, and it can put off how individuals voice their opinions. In other words, if your audience suspects that you have a view on the subject, it's going to affect how they then speak about that subject. Now, it can actually be quite challenging for managers who have a lot of expertise or a lot of experience to remain in this neutral stance, because your knowledge can constantly tempt you to form an opinion or to lead the discussion in a certain direction. Secondly, just as with coaching, the facilitator must not feel a responsibility for fixing the problem or finding a solution. The moment you feel a sense of responsibility, you've stopped being neutral as a facilitator. The facilitator has to assume that the value lies in the audience working through these issues and sharing their own views. If the group is struggling, it's the facilitator's job to keep the conversation constructive and focused, but not to rescue them. The facilitator shouldn't feel guilty if the group fails to reach a conclusion. As long as the discussion was facilitated properly, the outcome or the success of the session is the group's responsibility. Great facilitators are great listeners. And if you accept that listening is a skill, then you must also accept that it's something you can practice, and that by practicing, you can improve. Now, lots of people are offended if they're told they're not a great listener, because that can feel a bit patronizing, but it mustn't. Here's a checklist of clues that tell you that you might not be listening properly. See how many you recognize in yourself. You say you understand before you really know me or my situation. You have an answer to my problem before I've finished telling you what the problem is. You cut me off before I finish speaking. You finish my sentence. You find me boring. You're impatient to tell me something. You tell me about your own experiences, making mine seem less important. You follow your own thoughts or memories when they're triggered by my words. Well, if you're like me, you probably feel a little guilty hearing that list. So let's all agree now, we can do better at listening, and that facilitation is a great opportunity to prove to ourselves and others that we can do it. We haven't yet spoken about how to facilitate. Now, if you're familiar with coaching techniques, you're already off to a good start, because what and how questions remain the best and most effective questions to use. And this is so important because the nature of your questions determines the quality of the response you get. Your questions are your main tools for facilitation. They establish the rapport between you and the group, and they maintain the flow of the conversation. So you need to design each question so that it achieves the maximum return for the audience. Once you've mastered how to form good questions, you then have to decide how to direct the question to the group and how challenging or searching you want that question to be. Now, there are four techniques here that you can use to shape and direct your questions. The techniques are called spotlight, floodlight, horizontal, and vertical. Floodlight questioning is when you question the entire group. It's very open and it's very inclusive. Spotlight questions target a specific person, either because you're interested in finding out their thoughts on the subject, or perhaps because they've been quiet and you want to engage them. Horizontal questions are easy to answer. They tend to stay at the same level of depth, they don't probe, and they're great to generate pace and volume of ideas. A good example of a common horizontal question is simply, what else? Vertical questions are probing. They dig deeper into the issue and they explore causes, attitudes, beliefs, hidden factors. So here, what, how, and why are the most common examples of vertical questions. These tactics can be combined in different ways depending on the needs of the audience to create flow or momentum, to focus or debate ideas. Skilled facilitators move effortlessly between the four techniques and they create a dynamic and engaging conversation with the audience. It's worth noting that sometimes it can be difficult to distinguish between a horizontal and a vertical question. An easy way to tell them apart is through the response of the individual or the group in answering that question. A vertical question requires a pause for thought before answering. So if there's no pause, it's likely it was a horizontal question, which hasn't probed the issue too deeply. A really good vertical question can stop an individual or a group in their tracks. And it's in that moment of deeper thought that you're really adding value as a facilitator. When you put all these questioning skills together and truly listen more than transmit, you will discover so much more about what's happening in your team and how people really feel about certain topics. Facilitation reveals truths that leaders typically miss.